Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
All right. We've got Anton Newcomb checking in from Berlin. I'm Jay Cruz here in Redondo Beach, California. It's Backbeat Radio Show. And just before we signed on, Anton was giving me a quick tour of his studio and his home in Berlin, Germany. And
it's not my
looks
home.
Cool.
It's not your home. I've got a house too.
Okay.
I feel really strongly that you should get up and go to work. And then there's this other thing about when you don't want to work and you're surrounded by all your things that you've accumulated, could be anything.
Yeah.
Could be Academy Awards or something, or Grammys, right?
Right.
You sort of feel like a shit, you know, because you know, at least I do. Yeah, I remember wanting to accomplish things and wanting gear or wanting this, that, and the other. And when it's staring you in your face, you know, certain people, that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? It's really good to set it down and go live your life and bring life back to your thing, but make an effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of dangerous to say stay in a stagnant position. I think I was telling you I was sort of going through a little stagnation for a little while here, and then I decided to start reaching out and getting cool people like you on the show, man. Instead of just talking about what's going on. But one of the things I was talking about going on, let's kind of mention it. You guys are on tour in the U.S. and Portland, Oregon, had a bunch of gear stolen and then subsequently recovered, which is pretty amazing.
It really is.
Finding a needle in a haystack.
It was kind of funny that I was looking at the comments, you know, on Twitter after the police chimed in, you know, because I thanked them publicly. And then people are like, fuck those hippies. You know, look like those hippie drug addicts, get my bike back. You know, like the
yeah.
police. No, people, it's like some people, man, they can't give an inch, you know, for anything.
They,
it's like,
they can't celebrate someone else's victory sometimes. It's like,
but it's
you know,
the police, like the police can be do no good. But those are the same people that are going to ring immediately. Somebody's some speed freaks chop another front door with an axe. You know,
exactly.
You know,
defund the police until I need them, you know, is like a big kind
of, I mean, I can't stand the authoritarian posture and the on steroids and all that outrageous crap that just happens continuously either.
Right.
But, you know, these guys did a great job. Besides
yeah.
the fact that I wanted my stuff back and it was,
yeah.
you know, we used to feed ourselves and our kids and all that other stuff that I've had for ages, you know.
No, exactly. And the instruments that you use, I mean, they're a certain quality, you know, a certain sound, a certain aesthetic.
Yeah.
So you just can't go down to the local guitar center,
no.
take five off the rack and get to the
game. You can't even find them when you want them.
Right.
Any particular one, like I have a couple of these ones, these airline guitars that were from Montgomery Ward's in like 1962 or whatever, right? And
yeah.
they pop up, you know, the last time I had them in the 90s, early 90s, right? And I was coming home from the studio and somebody just reached in the car and just grabbed like three guitars out of the back seat. I stopped for some orange juice. It was that
yeah.
quick, right? They just opened up the door and grabbed them and booked. Because, you know, I used to live in black neighborhoods, Lower Haight and stuff. So, but, you know, it took me like until 2009 or something to find those guitars again, and now you got people like Eastwood just making copies of every one of my guitars. So I don't nothing against them, but they're not the same,
right?
But
no,
like
a lot of people
really
just don't know.
I love the sound. It's like really unique. This jazz guy did this. They look weird and they sound really amazing. But anyway, the papers and everything tried to frame it as these guitars as sentimental value. It's like they don't understand. There's a reason why at a certain point in the band history, you know, one time we were open up for Oasis, their first show in America in San Francisco at the Bottom of the Hill. And my guitar player Jeff shows up and we're like more than a song into the set. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And where's your guitar? More importantly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's in the pawn shop. And it was like at that minute that I was like, whatever I do in this world, I'm going to buy all the gear and I don't care who I throw out, who I kill or whatever happens. Nobody's pawning anything and the sound's going to stay the same because it's just not going to work if somebody comes in with the Iceman. And I don't care if who wants to play it, that type of guitar or whatever, you know, it might be fine for Randy Rhoads or whoever.
Yeah.
But, you know. For those of you who don't know what an Iceman is, but like some Ibanez crazy ass looking.
It's kind of like the Paul Stanley has that little phallic thing hanging at the bottom. Desk, you know?
But anyways, they're all different. So these are like tools that are really unique. And, they even differ from, I always call it the Friday at 3 o'clock guitar.
Right, right.
Where the guy's just like, I'm
never going to be in tune
out for the boss to keep my job, but fuck this. Because some of them you pick up and they don't, you know, they don't even play the same and there's something weird about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it isn't really sentimental there. You know, I use them. I make music like 6 days a week.
Yeah. And that's something else that, you know, is amazing about you all these years. You crank out songs, you know, and then you look at a band like, I don't know, any
whoever.
And 10 years from now. Yeah.
It's like David Geffen's like, here's 20 million pounds. And they're like, great. I never want to do a thing again in my life.
Right. You
know? So many people are like that, though.
Yeah. But how do you do that? You just get up and you focus. You always have music going through your head. A lot of people come up with a writer's block, but you don't seem to suffer from that as often.
Well, I gave you a glimpse of, I can't pronounce his name. Holken.
Holken?
My guitar player, right?
Uh-huh.
We sat here, like, I had caught in COVID, and then they put me in the loony bin for a couple bits because I said I wasn't in Germany. They don't ask if you want to go. It's not America. They're
right,
like,
right.
Fuck you, you know?
Uh-huh.
You're in. Because I wasn't going to go to the doctor or anything. I said, okay, I'm just going to roll through this. I said it publicly on the internet when it just kicked off. They're like,
they didn't like
you.
That. Yeah.
No. But anyways, so after I got out of that, we started trying to record and I wasn't making anything I liked. And we worked for like a month every single day trying. And then it just snapped. It clicked and then. We were off to the races just endlessly.
Cool.
But generally when I start going, there's two things. Either I set my mind to like these parameters, right? So on this time I had just gotten also in the start of COVID, I guess I'd gotten back two of these guitars that have been gone for 15 years. And one of them was this 12 string that I loved dearly. And the other one was this hollow body guitar that I loved dearly. They were my main guitars. One of them is the main ones. It's all through Dig, you know, and the other one's through the 2000s or whatever. And I got them back and I was so excited. So I just kept playing the 12 string over and over again. And I like the way it sounds through these old Ampeg, 60s Ampeg guitar amps. The early 60s ones are it sounds psychotic. There's all the overtones and stuff. So that's what I wanted to work in. Between that and I have these really old organs. Like these Phillips, they're called Philcordias and that kind of stuff. And they're all just this ringing harmonics. So I just got on this roll and I wasn't interested if I wrote like a disco song or anything else. But normally, you know, when I get on a roll, no matter what I write, I'll just follow through. So I might wake up in the morning and I'll just be playing like Bach on the organ, just doing some Baroque flute. Harpsichord piece, and I just do it for me, and I just keep going and keep it flowing. And as I switch instruments, every single sound that I hear, as I keep switching, you know, I'll switch to drums. I go, oh, this could be a song right here.
Right.
And so I just keep going, and I'll just do it for the hell of it and figure out what it is later, like make a skeleton. It starts to become apparent when you start getting some really interesting songs, mm-hmm. what the skeleton would be like. And then you figure out what the muscles like of the recording, and then how to dress it all up, you know?
Yeah. That's an interesting way to put it. I like that.
You know what I mean? But you never do it by like throwing everything into a giant pile and then pulling a bunch of boards and pipes out and saying, now that's a house.
Right.
You know, you kind of lay a foundation.
Right.
It's a different kind of sculpture. It isn't really taking things away. You want to be building things up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of
clean up a mess, which is like such a big part of the industry. Like people don't know what they're doing. They got some mixer producer that has to come in and fix your shit, and they remix it. They're like, no, this makes sense. This is dope. It's a different kind of sculpture that I'm interested in, which is taking nothing and just put the skeleton, the foundation of whatever it is. That's what I hear.
I think I've always heard Miss Massive Layers and all the Brian Jonestown Massacre songs as well. I mean, you have four guitars, you have the thick organ, sometimes the less
mostly
the organ.
It's mostly three guitars, except depending on who's playing organ. I uh-huh. tend to have like, I'm never with people that are like, when you're in a band like Sigur Rós, where you see one guy sitting on a stool and all of a sudden he gets up and smacks a cymbal or something, and he's perfectly fine to sit there in a tuxedo and go see the whole world and be a part of this great event in these giant opera houses. But I always get these guys, every time I turn around, they're fucking noodling. I'm like, why is there six people playing guitar on this song?
Yeah,
but it's okay. You know what I mean? It's like that. Everybody wants to be in there on the action. It's just a full-time job saying, man, don't do that.
Yeah, just but knowing how to be disciplined.
So live, which is different than recording, every time two sounds cross each other's paths in frequency, it's called phase cancellation. The sound disappears to a degree.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they can use white noise machines to cancel out traffic. They can put the sound of the ocean in the speaker and you don't hear the freeway anymore and all that shit.
Yeah.
And Dolby SR, it's just pink noise. It's just erasing the hiss track completely with the frequency of hiss.
Yeah.
And so live, there's with all the strings, especially when we're playing 12 strings, it's going in and out of phase, everything, while it's hitting harmonics, while things are uh-huh. slightly out of tune, and it's chiming, and it's nothing that anyone is doing. It's just doing this mad shit on its own where you're like, what the fuck is going on? What effect is that? And it's like, no, there's nothing going on. It's just the sound. But then in recording, it's slightly different because, you know, it's a kind of a battle with an engineer or somebody to say like, everything can't be the fattest sound and shouldn't be. What you're trying to create is an atmosphere. Like I mix like King Tubby or one of these Jamaican guys. I'm like, that I know will sound good when you're stoned. Trust me.
Yeah.
But if I don't say kids, this shit will sound good on MDMA. Don't prove me wrong. You know, because fuck it. I'm not into just doing that shit. You know what I mean? To say stuff. People can figure out what they want out of it. You know, even if they're like 20 years sober, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Kidding. Higher than the kite. It's not my thing. People are going to do what they do.
Yeah.
But I look for these audio environments that totally are like notable to me. Like I'm like, wow. Right. But I don't want to be a prisoner in the sense that like Stone Roses came out and everybody was like, this is fucking amazing. Right. Or whatever. The people that love them so much in the UK and all this shit.
Right.
And it's like this giant albatross hanging around their neck. It's like it's never happened again. They come back in 2020 and whatever, play in the stadium for around a few laps around the block or whatever. But you see what I'm saying? Like they can't be bothered. And I hate that about the Sex Pistols. I hate that about anybody. You know, it's this giant fucking albatross around your neck.
Right.
Or you could just keep going on like PIL. It's like, I don't need to hear 50 of those shit records. You know, the first two are amazing. And the third one's pretty good too. You know, But yeah. I hate that. I hate that about any band.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It just stays with that same formula and doesn't change.
It isn't a formula. I just think that there's a lot going on in music and your spirit and the intellectual honesty.
Yeah.
Like, there doesn't see, in my mind, like, I'm going to be 55 in August. That doesn't
happy
mean
birthday.
Jack shit. You know,
yeah, happy
sometimes
birthday.
Thanks. Sometimes, you know, like, we were in Utah and we were like Oklahoma City at a hotel. And the first thing, you know, these like people of a certain age walk up there like, man, I got to say, you look exactly like fucking Neil Young.
Uh-huh.
Like, not really, man. Have you had your eyes checked?
Yeah, really.
Because he looks a hell of a lot older than me now. He looks grumpier and older.
He does. No, even when he was younger, he looked grumpier and older than you, dude.
Yeah.
You know.
But so, you know, I guess I understand what they're trying to say, so it's fine.
Yeah. So,
I mean, a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand anything.
Yeah, or they believe what they're told, kind of go along with the crowd, a little bit of that.
Well, you know what I mean? I'm from California, right? And I was born in 1967. And he came down here a little bit earlier than that. But, you know, he heard about all the shit that was going on the West Coast. And he said, fuck Canada. I want a piece of this. I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know? So he adapted the California style. And of course, he helped it evolve and they all worked together on that team. But basically,
of course,
he fucking went wild west.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was,
you know,
I heard,
not the
I
other
heard
way around.
I heard he used to play with Rick James back in Toronto.
I know that.
Is just crazy to think, like, to be a fly on a wall.
Rick James was so high. Rick James, for a while, he was hiding out, like, down the street from where I'm from in Newport Beach in these condos and where a lot of his trouble happened. Like, he got in trouble with that chick down there with burning her feet with a crack pipe or whatever.
Yeah.
But right around the corner from my place, he was walking. He was like walking in the produce section one day and he turns around to look for his kid. It was like baby mama visiting day. And this dude's like got his fucking kid by the leg and a gun under his arm and just said,
oh shit.
You running, motherfucker. Like, that's how fucking high and dumb you are.
Oh my God. That is insane.
Yeah, happened like once or twice right in my neighborhood.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And
that guy was living, he was living crazy.
Definitely. And you don't even think that would happen in Newport Beach, even under the craziest circumstance. Not the reputation that city has, you know?
Yes and no, man. Me and my friends, when we were like young, you know, like even when I was a teenager, I remember we were like walking down the beach in the morning and to see this black trash bag and take a peek, and it was all like fucking tie sticks bundled up because those boats go by.
Uh-huh.
If you're not there at 5 a.m., it's not their problem.
Yeah.
They just toss it. You know, you're like, they're like, just, you know, like 1 mile off the pier or whatever it is, right? You know, we're going to toss these in the fog.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Be out there in your little fishing boat. If you're not
exactly
picking up those fucking things, and they're washing up on the beach.
Yeah. So, did you guys happen to walk away?
I'm always fascinated on the tales. Like last week, it was like, wasn't it Austria or Germany? But it was like some guys at this normal supermarket that go unpack the crate of bananas. And once again, it's all Coke. Coke bananas.
Yeah, funny.
They always tell the police. I'm like, why?
Yeah, it's a whole.
Why don't you just come up with the fucking 400 euros for the goddamn fucking case of bananas and order a new one? Say, oh, these were all spoiled, boss. I threw them in the fucking dumpster.
Yeah, then you got a side business and, you know, make a little profit and, you know, do what you got
to
do.
COVID. I can't come to work for 2 weeks, figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, a lot of people
I'm just kidding. I don't want anything to do with
it. I wouldn't either, man. My karma would, I don't know. I just, that's not a place I'm not good in that world. You know, it's just not
for
me.
I never did it.
Me either.
I never did that or, go
I've
for
always,
like welfare
it's been a,
help or something, you know? Like
yeah.
I'm fine with other people that need help and do whatever. But I personally was just like, nah. It was just like moving back home after I left, you know, because things weren't going good or something. I was like, I could never live with myself.
Yeah.
I gotta figure this out.
And we're gonna take a quick break and be right back in a moment with more from Anton Newcomb of the Brian Jonestown Massacre here on Backbeat Radio Show today on HealthyLife.net.
Carole King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
So just to let our listeners know, we're chatting with Anton Newcomb. He is the main man of Brian Jonestown Massacre and talking about stolen equipment, things washing up on shore here on Backbeat Radio. And you got a new album out, but I want to talk. You just mentioned, you know, helping out folks on your last tour. You were doing some, you're giving away tickets for listeners Oxfam. Who would donate to Oxfam. What's how did you get involved with them? And helping them out a little bit.
I used to do MSF too, which is Physicians Without Borders. But I was in Australia one time and a bunch of crap went down and all of a sudden they're like, we're going to sue you. This isn't authorized. I'm like, I've raised hundreds of thousands for you guys. Yeah. I don't touch the money. I don't need authorization. Just say, make a donation, show me proof. And they were such jerks that I won't ever help them again, even though I love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a little bit controversial because they'll blow into a war zone and help whoever's wounded.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I can't believe you're helping the fucking Iranians or whatever it is, you know? And they're like, no, we help everybody who's hurt.
Yeah.
But, it was just something I picked up because I believe in what they do. For instance, they drill a lot of wells for people in different places. In these places where there's a lot of cultures where that's women's work, going and fetching water. And because of the reality of water, we're talking like sometimes people have to, it's like almost a whole day plus all the other work they have to do for their family.
Just to get water.
Kids and women going kilometers to carry some heavy buckets of water in the hot sun.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Saharan Africa or the Middle East or wherever that people have to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, it takes like 50 bucks to buy a beehive or a goat. And either one of those things could change. Like 25 people can live off either one of those. They make cheese or honey and, you know, and sell it.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like because the amount of money that they use to run it, like 5% of their take versus what they do in their equality based, a lot of their charitable works. Are trying to equalize some of that stuff in the world because it's way out of whack.
Yeah.
So I just got into raising money with those guys and for the But mainly not to be like the best guy. I mm-hmm. I kind of hate people. And the people that I hate the most is any motherfucker on the planet that does anything of note could do this. That means all NASCAR racers and NASCAR itself could raffle off two tickets and yeah. take nothing. Beyonce could do it and just say, toss in a buck or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll pick some people at random to come to my show. Wrestling. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. And it doesn't matter if it's a Christian rock concert, because they can just do it for their own organizations. It doesn't yeah. matter. But the concept is just, it's so easy to help. And so many mm-hmm. people are in need. And what we really have, it's a giant mirror when you flip it around. So it becomes less about me. And it becomes this mirror of the fact that here are all these people that are so this, that, and the other, right? They're actually shit. They're shit people, because it doesn't take any effort to do something to help strangers, and you right. don't even really need credit for it. It's just the point that it's so simple to help whatever you want, cancer, children, I don't care what it is, right?
Yeah.
That trends anything, right? But people
absolutely.
They do nothing. So I would hope that I could encourage some other people to do it, because just I'm showing that it takes no effort. And I'm basically giving away tickets, sets of them, to sold mm-hmm. out shows. So if people yeah. are smart enough to watch that one thing that's mm-hmm. happening, I mean, what's the problem there?
Yeah, I agree. There's so much, inequity in the people that are, running these, a lot of big events. Doesn't even have to be big events, but a lot of these big corporations are making tons of money, this and that. And they, a lot of times put up these altruistic fronts that they're doing this and that, but it just seems like it goes to a nonprofit where like six guys are making, a couple hundred grand off the top, and very little goes to the actual cause. And it takes advantage of people who are well-meaning to donate their money or time to what they think is a good cause.
Sure. Sure. But also, I go to, you would believe how many cities where I actually just don't know enough people. We don't know enough people to fill up our own guest list, if you could believe it. We're not yeah. in a situation where the radio, we owe all this promo to radio, like all this whatever. Like we don't care. So yeah. it's like, I'll just not use my guest list. It's just like, mm-hmm. so it's simple, But like I said, whatever, rather than getting an award or something, because they are very gracious about the whole thing. And I would rather that other people adopt a similar sort of, I don't know what you call it, right? Some kind of activity, right? Which is just basically doing a good turn. Because a lot of times we find, some people, some of us, right, find ourselves in a position where, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm online a lot, and God, man, sometimes you go down the wormhole of GoFundMe or something, right?
Yeah.
It's just bananas, right? Everybody's got uh-huh. that tooth is just going to lose their house if they even make one move to fix it in America or something. And there's just like an endless amount of, if you look, somebody that you could relate to is like, up shit creek.
So, pretty much. Yeah.
You don't have to worry, like some people are hell bent against like socialism. I don't want to come in out on my taxes, but the other side of that is an easy way to do it is just like turning the wheel around occasionally. You don't have to do it every day.
Yeah.
Like there's like Hungarian, Romanian beggars by the bandful. They're outside of every single supermarket here. They just come here for 3 months out of the year and do that as an occupation.
Yeah.
And, I don't help everybody every single day because I can't even do nothing.
Yeah.
But I definitely help people when it occurs to me too. Like sometimes I give money and sometimes I don't. Because I see that guy with the cell phone there every goddamn day. I'm like, how are you fucking paying for that cell phone?
Exactly. You got that. You can afford. You can afford a sandwich. You can afford some vegetables. If you've got a dad plan.
I understand that you can't get a job. I mean, that makes sense because the Germans probably going to hire some 60-year-old dude from one of these countries. So I understand that thing, and I understand that he's got it bad from where he's at. But still, I'm like, yeah, because he got it really good.
Yeah. 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 People homeless now compared to years before seem to have, I don't know, the thing with the cell phone and communication.
It's a tough call. It's a yeah. tough call because people, there's all kinds of fucking madness going on. You know, people walk yeah. from Africa to Europe.
Yeah.
Their parents sell their whole fucking thing. They sell like a plot of land to send this one kid, right? And they just
to give him a chance.
The shore. They wash up on the shore every day. They get yeah. jacked in the desert. I mean, all kinds of mad shit goes on just around the clock. Yeah.
So for folks living in America who don't think this is going on elsewhere, there you go. Mm-hmm. Straight from a person who's been seeing it. How long you been in Berlin now? Like 7, 8 years, 10?
15.
15. Wow. That's quite a while.
Yeah.
Now, were you in Iceland for a while before that?
Yep.
I remember, I think I got one of your, something you recorded over there. Mm. One of these EPs here.
Yeah, I was You're really, living really in Iceland. Drunk. Really, really drunk and living in hotels and guest houses, which are it's kind of cool. Like people, they take some spare rooms from their house and so you eat with the family and hang out, talk to them. It's kind of interesting to do. Super yeah. drunk.
Well, I think you were there kind of the time when they're raging against the banks or shortly after that. Was that
well, yeah,
going on both, when you were there?
Both. They were only raging against the banks because the CIA, Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is like, you have to know a little bit about these hedge funds, but for a long time, you get dark money. Yeah. They've got black budgets.
BlackRock.
Iran-Contra. It's all yeah. about flipping money. You ask for this amount of money and then you flip it into coke, you know? And
right.
invest that in hedge funds. So anyways, you know, the ICESave was this, we're going to give you 12.5 interest when the rest of the world's highest rate anywhere is 4% on any investment. It's like, wow, this is a great deal. Billions
yeah.
used it to crash the euro because China was buying up euro bonds and euros instead of the USA. That's all it was. And then everybody hated them. But they're like, whoa, we're just a little island. We're cute.
Yeah.
100,000 people. It's not us. It's three bad guys.
Yeah. That's interesting when you really get behind the stuff. And you seem to do really well at getting behind the bullshit and finding out what's really going on. Something I've always kind of appreciated about you and your persona, which what we see from you, man. So more people need to know about you, Anton.
It was like I was obsessively almost reading information from everywhere, trying to figure out, like, because I knew so much shit was going to go down, you know?
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, I was like, I don't even need to read this stuff anymore because the writing's on the wall that it's already happening. The
shit I know.
That I was waiting for is already happening in spades, man. You're
it
worried
really
about,
is.
Like, some atomic winter bullshit. Don't wish for it too hard. It could happen this winter. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Like, yes.
But the weirdest thing about now, where it was never like this before in my life, was Putin said like 3 times, you better back the fuck up or else I'm going to start popping these things off. And then everybody's just like this in the whole world.
Yeah.
The first time ever, everybody everywhere is like,
how bad could it be? You know, maybe
like,
this is the
ahead,
end, you know?
Go ahead, you know.
So. Yeah, maybe we're at the end of this planet's existence into the Atlantean legend times, or you know, maybe
something
we're
right.
one of those points in time where we're about to get whacked off the earth, kicked off like a bunch of fleas or something.
It's kind of funny, like last week China was like their like military college just said one of their number one fucking things they gotta do is waste Elon Musk's fucking satellite. Network. See, like everybody in Ukraine was like, oh, Elon's so great. We've got Wi-Fi in our bomb shelters. He donated 7,000 of these Starlink fucking mainframe things, you know, so we could set up. And you're like, it's not for that. It's for drones and for trackage, but it's GPS that cannot be jammed.
You're right.
That goes everywhere. So we can all your artillery, you got a drone. That's how, because they're like showing videos. It's like, oh, look at our artillery regiment just whacking these tanks from, you know, like 30 kilometers away. I'm like, Yeah. That's because you're using Starlink. You got a bead on that thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so many...
That's technology.
Exactly. There's always the public narrative, and then there's the behind-the-scenes thing, you know, like what's
so
going
strange.
On.
This is and those guys, man, over there, God bless them, but they're such fucking dickheads in a way, because this is the first war ever where they're like, oh, and Slovenia is sending us all these tanks and all this shit. And then you hear in the paper, like a week later, a warehouse blew up with all the ammunition, like Russia targeted missiles. Like, yeah, in the history of warfare, you kind of want to keep secret when they're sending the goodies across the border.
Right. You know, it's like, you know, like
everybody else is always like, America in World War II is like making fake balloon tanks and stuff and putting them all over England, like fake planes and stuff. It's like, no, that's a big part of it, is like telling little lies about stuff. And you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Funny. No, it's pretty funny.
Definitely.
We're going to take another break and return with more from Anton Newcombe in just a bit. And towards the end of the show, when we wrap up, we will play one of the songs from Fire Doesn't Grow on Trees, today on Backbeat Radio, with our special guest Anton Newcombe of the Brian Jonestown Massacre, with me, Jay Cruz.
Happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
So, speaking of what is happening in that area there, you're going to be hitting across Europe. I noticed I didn't see any dates in Ukraine, obviously.
Well, they only play, they call them Gripnas, even though it has an H in the front. You know what? When you're in Poland, you've got Slotkies and stuff. That's the money they use there. You're playing one of these countries and they're paying you for a festival or something. You're like, it's a good idea just to fill up on gas and get some milk for the tour bus, because the banks will just look at you in the exchange rate. They're just, you know what I mean? That's not why you go and play.
Right.
Unless you're mega, you know, if you're like Metallica or something, then you go play these places and you can walk away with some bank or something, I guess.
Yeah.
But for anybody else, it's like you play because you love the people and it pays for itself in that sense. So you got a day off and you go play a festival.
100%. Looks like you get to drive literally all across Europe and the UK and hit, you know, all these places that you maybe haven't been able to see. You know, even though you've been living in Berlin.
We go everywhere. We've been in all over the map. We played in Santiago, Chile. We played all kinds of places.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen you here at the Wiltern a number of times. That's a cool place.
Tough stage to play because it's, you know, theatrical concrete, you know, it sounds fantastic in that room, but it's a tough room to for you to have all the feels that would, you know, take you to the next level where you really lose. And you know what I'm saying? You're always like, what the hell's going on? You know, you feel stiff and strange.
Yeah.
But I love that play.
Yeah. That's a great theater. And, everyone I've seen there pulls it off well, and I saw you guys there a couple times. It was one of the funniest. There was a mosh pit going around on one of your shows, and it turns out there's two chicks that started a fight at your show, and it was pretty insane. I put it on YouTube years ago. I don't even know if it's.
It was also weird. One time we played there, and one of my childhood friends, who's just kind of a mess, was like in the audience going heckling me, and then all of a sudden, like the bouncers would just pick him up and carried him out, and he was like, "I'm his friend. I'm his friend," and I could just hear it going all the way to the side door. He's like begging me to stop him, and I was just laughing.
Yeah, what can you do?
It was the classic fuck around and found out thing.
That's great. Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Go back to like sixth grade or whatever, best friends.
Yeah.
Laughing because he's still a jerk.
No, it seemed like a good idea at the time to him, I guess, you know. That's funny shit.
Well, those guys, these are the guys that used to like take taxi cabs from Newport Beach to San Ana to score smack and rob the taxi cab for the money outside the fucking dope house.
Oh, God.
And hop out and like call into their cab and get arrested.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's
boneheads.
Nutty thinking, man. Or not thinking, just, exactly. You know, doing what they're going to do. So I've got about another 5 minutes, so I got to get to something else, unfortunately. I'd rather hang out and talk to you all day, Anton. It's pretty cool.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about the new album real quick. Fire Doesn't Grow on Trees. That's the name of the album. I heard the first couple songs, The Real and Where Do We Go From Here. And I don't know, they kind of took me back to some of
the single,
The Real and Where Do We Go From Here.
Yeah, that's the single, because Where Do We Go From Here is just a B-side. It's not on the album.
Okay. All right, cool.
That's fine, though.
Nice little hidden track already. Uh-huh. Nice little hidden track already on the B-side there, which is something that people from the 90s or before would understand, the old CD hidden track and the B-sides of stuff. Don't get a lot of that anymore. I think you mentioned Oasis earlier. They're probably kings of the B-side through the 90s. They would release some great singles and a lot of great B-sides.
Yeah, I think they were obsessed with the Beatles.
Yeah, absolutely.
They put out some pretty solid singles. Strawberry Fields Forever, Rain.
Black Rider. Some excellent B-sides. I kind of miss that, you know, the hidden gems, B-sides and stuff. You know, bands that do a little extra for the fans. So you guys are definitely on that list of going the extra mile, I would say. No. You've always been super generous with allowing people to, you know, hear your music and have access to it. And I think that's important, you know. Has it really hurt you in the long run? I mean, having free access, or you still, you know, I mean, you're still able to survive and do things on your own.
I've called your own life. I can live wherever I want in Europe or anywhere in the
world. Call your own shots.
Yeah. Well, you know, originally I loaded up, before you could stream, I loaded up the mainframe at Caltech down there in Pasadena. And it was one of the mainframes, two of them in California. There's one at Stanford and one there. And all the internet goes through there, the whole world.
Wow.
And in one of the science lab, I used FTP links. So that was the original thing, that like streaming where you just press the button and it starts playing.
Uh-huh.
That's what it was before there was streaming. So I just loaded up all my music for free, because, and then I seeded all the Tor and Napster and all that stuff, because I thought that there would never be a record shop in these obscure villages in Finland and stuff that would be selling my record. So that, mm-hmm. that on the one sense, market share was important. At the same time, while you had Lars like suing people for Metallica, right? I thought that the government in America would protect copyright holders for news articles, for your podcast, it doesn't matter. And I'm kind of shocked that not only did the people not understand it or put people in a position to understand any of this shit, they don't give a fuck. So, mm-hmm. and they let these idiots even steal companies. See, mm-hmm. it's like Mark didn't start out a genius. He started a brilliant thief. Two other guys made up fucking Facebook. Right. See what I'm saying?
Right.
He just nicked it. He said, oh, why is this just for fucking Harvard? Let's just do it for everything.
Yeah.
You know, this could be so much more than just rating hot fucking co-eds.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that sales pitch was perfect for DARPA because they just said, oh, yeah, we could just make a Facebook profile for every single person that hooked AI into this. So then we know where everyone would go and who they would talk to, because your kid cousin's going to put your baby pictures up there and everybody at the family wedding. So everybody's on it.
Yeah.
And then, so that's neither here nor there. They sold everybody out. So then you had Al Gore, like, with this vision of what the internet would be, you know. It's like, oh, and we'll all have our own store. It's like, right, there's like fucking five websites that people go to, like Pornhub and fucking Amazon.com, Facebook, yeah, or whatever it is.
YouTube, and there you go.
Yeah, they're not on anything else, right?
Right.
And so it's like Google, you know. But so it's bullshit. You know, but anyways, I figured, well, I could be for this and against it. I could be for this technological, just to use the whole thing, and then be against it philosophically because people are fucking me over. But here it is, because the whole West is fascist to a certain degree. You know, they got people like Spotify comes along and you're going, wow, all the major labels just cut a deal with these guys. Well, because they're not making that money off that little piddly ass royalty rate. They're right. Making money off the analytics that they get to use without paying for them.
Yeah.
So they got everybody's number for marketing.
Exactly.
And they can sell that information. So they've got a piece of that pie, which is the only money that those guys make. Because with that information, they can tailor the ads for the freebies because they know what the demographic of everybody is, but also ads for everybody else because they know your whole lifestyle. Yeah. And then that feeds all into the AI because they know everything about you. Because for you to keep your Spotify on your phone, it's just collecting your metadata of every single thing that you fucking do, from your ATM purchases to everything you do. So they know everything. They know how far you travel and all this other shit. And they're making money off you and fucking you over, not paying you. So the two problems are, one, the government doesn't give a shit, and two, the population doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So you're kind of fucked. But I, on the other hand, on the one hand, in Dig or something, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, Anton's just throwing everything away. Well, none of the Elektra Records doesn't exist. None of these record labels actually exist. Fucking these bands, Danny Warhols, aren't on Capitol Records because it doesn't exist. And all this shit is bullshit. See, but I own everything. So when I'm on TV, when I'm on the radio, and every record I sell, I'm making money. I make 70, I make 95 cents on the dollar. And the 5% goes to the distributor, and it's really in record stores. I really get everything made. So I actually knew what I was doing. It just was contrary to everybody else's belief system, because I knew one thing, that once I had popularity, there's no way that anybody could take it away from me except for me.
Yeah.
And it's kind of built in the spininess of the project. So, like, I mean, I could do and say a lot of things that are uncouth or shocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the name of the band is Brian Jonestown Massacre. Jonestown Massacre was a fucking forced mass suicide of like 980 people. And so, like, who the fuck are you do you think you're talking to in the first place? Do you think I give a fuck?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's obvious. So, like, you just back, take it as far as you want. But anyways, I knew that I could get much farther than everybody else by saying no. Just simply because everybody says yes. Even Iggy Pop. See, he's doing, you know, insurance ads, and he doesn't even have a driver's license. So, I mean, there's a price on everything except me. I'm not interested.
Except you. You're not for sale. Quote from Dig.
Well, but it's kind of interesting because I was trying to prove a point.
Uh-huh.
The point is that, you know, that it works, it can work in that context. You know, if you understand really how things work that way, you know.
Definitely. Well, Anton, unfortunately, I gotta get to an assignment here. And I'm gonna have to wrap up.
Will you go?
This has been an excellent
day,
man.
You go to the devil, then. No, you know, like all the guys, man, like Sam Cooke or whoever it is, right?
Right.
Aretha Franklin could be anybody, right? They're like singing star of their church and the congregation, the community, right? Otis Redding, doesn't matter who it is, right?
Right.
And they go like, okay, I got it. I'm going to go get a record deal. And everybody's like, the preacher would be like, well, you go to the devil then.
It's the same story for all of them.
Well, you go to the devil then.
Yeah.
All right. Next. No.
So want listeners to get your new album. Fire Doesn't Grow on Trees. And if you're in Europe, go out and see the Brian Jonestown Massacre starting on tour at the end of this year in the fall. All right, Anton, dude, this is a pleasure. Thanks for being on Backbeat Radio with me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good day, too.
Like to stay in touch, and I'll send you a copy of me and my friend doing Servo in Huntington Beach.
I'd love it.
All right. Anton, thanks so much.
Bye.
Peace out.
Here's the first single from Fire Doesn't Grow on Trees from the Brian Jonestown Massacre called The Real on Backbeat Radio. Well, the album is out. You can find it in all your favorite places. And I would suggest going to Brian Jonestown Massacre website itself and buying it directly from Anton & Company. Of course, it can be found in all the usual music places, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, and all of that. I'm Jay Cruz. Thanks very much for tuning in to Backbeat Radio this month. We'll be back again with another episode in August. And especially a big thanks to Anton Newcomb and continued success with the album, the new album coming out later on, and the tour of Europe coming up later on this year. Thanks for being a guest, Anton, on Backbeat Radio Show here on HealthyLife.net.